1 Corinthians chapter 3. Today we're going to look at a subject that might be pleasant, and then again it might not be so pleasant. And we're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ. I've done this before, but I wanted to basically show you a little bit more about it. It's kind of difficult nowadays for me to find a lot of new stuff to give you guys. I've been listening to Tony now for 10 years probably, and I've heard everything he knows, and now he's going to start all over again. And I'm sure that you guys have heard everything I know 2 or 3 times. But the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to start out here in verse number 10. Paul says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So right away, the first thing I see when I read this, who laid the foundation for the church? Who did that? There's no doubt about it that Paul laid the foundation for the church. It wasn't Peter, it wasn't John, it wasn't any of them guys. Paul laid the foundation for the church. And he says another built thereupon, and that's how it's built. So we see right away that's how it's built. Now in verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So right away we see that the first thing, part of this, we see that the foundation is Jesus Christ. And Paul laid that. Verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So right away we see that the first thing we're going to see here is that all your works are going to be tried by far. There's no doubt about that. Now, what I've done in the past when I tried to teach this, I talked about your works being made manifest. Now, we know what a manifest is, right? A manifest is if you want to look at it this way, a list of everything that is contained in something. So basically, when things are made manifest, it's been revealed. And it is revealed by far. And that's how it's revealed. So what happens here is that one day when we die, what's happening? We leave this body behind and we go to be present with the Lord. Now, we stay with the Lord until the Lord comes back in the clouds. He doesn't come back to the earth, but He appears in the clouds. And all the saved people that are still alive, they meet Him in the air. The dead people, the ones that's already gone on before, He's going to bring them with Him, and they're going to get a glorified body. And it says it's in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. But when that happens, we are going to stand before a judgment bar, and we're going to be judged for the things we've done in the body. Everybody is going to do that. If you're lost, where are you going to stand? What judgment bar are you going to stand at? You're going to stand at a white throne judgment. And you're going to give an account for the things you've done. If you lost, you're still going to give an account. the saved person is going to give an account for the things that he did while he was living. Now, don't get this confused with your sins, because that's not going to be judged. If your sins were judged at the judgment seat of Christ, then you couldn't be there, could you? Because there's no sin that can enter in. So, your sins have been taken care of. Your sins have been taken care of. They are under the blood of Christ, if you have put them there. And if you trusted in what He did for you. Now, but nevertheless, you're going to be judged for the things you've done in the body. You say, well, what kind of things are those? Well, they're all kinds of things. Number one thing, everybody here, if you're a saved person, you got a ministry. Everybody's got a ministry. Everybody's got the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 5:18. Everybody has a word of reconciliation. Everybody has that. Everybody has an office that you hold. And that office, of course, is the office of ambassador. You are representing your heavenly home here upon the earth. Everybody has that. If you're a saved person, you have that. If you're a lost person, you don't have that. And you're going to give an account for what you've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, that's going to happen. And you're going to stand before that judgment bar, and you're going to give an account for that. But I want to try to show you a little bit about this, the idea of being tried by fire. I want to try to show you possibly what that is. You know, I used to think that there was a big screen up there and they just run everything across that. Everybody could see it. Well, I don't think that's true any longer. I don't think that it's nobody's business what you do. And I don't think it's going to be revealed to everybody. I'd certainly hate to stand up there and see some of the stuff you all have been into. I wouldn't want to see that, would you, Dennis? I'm very thankful that I'm not going to miss that. And I want to give you an idea of what that is. And it's a pretty simple thing. I don't believe that there's a big ball of fire out there and they throw all your works in there and then after a while they take something and maybe drain it off and you got some good stuff left and the bad stuff goes down. I don't believe that's what it is any longer. So I want to show you that. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Now, Paul here is comparing the Christian walk to what? Running a race. And he said you run a race to win. You run a race to win a corruptible crown. But he said we run a race to win an incorruptible crown. So, what are we doing? We are running a race to win that incorruptible crown. And I told you all this before, that when, after the judgment seat of Christ, it depends upon what you've done on this earth, what you're going to be doing in the heaven for eternity. That tells you what you're going to be doing for eternity. Are you going to have a crown? Are you going to be in authority? or are you just going to be a peon? Now, I'm very used to those words like peon and those lower type people, because that's what I was at one time. When you go in the military, well, you're the lowest scum of the earth. You don't even belong to your own self. You belong to the government. You all know what a GI is, don't you? You know what that stands for, don't you? Well, a GI simply means government issue. In other words, they issue you, and if you don't make it, well, then they just run somebody else in. I mean, that's a hard situation, but that's how it is. But in heavenly places, there is positions of authority. There's position of authority. Remember what we went over a few weeks ago, that in the heavens they've got dominions, they've got thrones, they've got powers, they've got principalities, all that in the heavens. And you're going to be part of that. And it depends upon what you do on the earth and what you've done with what God give you, you know, on your position in the heavens one day. Now, and that's going to happen here at the judgment seat of Christ. Now here's a good one. Let me see if I can find my verse here. At any rate, let me just quote this verse to you a little bit. It's required of stewards to be found faithful. You remember that verse? Well, what's he talking about? A steward is someone that has authority over something. So you have authority over your ministry of reconciliation, do you not? You have authority over your office of ambassadorship. So therefore, it's required of stewards to be found faithful. Now, in most cases, what we're told about that is what? We are told that that means that you're supposed to come to church every Sunday morning. If you didn't do that, you're not faithful, right? Well, you could apply that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, why wouldn't you want to come to church every Sunday? Would it be something bad? After all, why do you come to church to start with? You know, you ought to ask yourself that. Huh? You ought to ask yourself, why do I come? Well, if you don't know, maybe you ought to check up and find out. Maybe you ought not come. Maybe it's something you don't enjoy. Do you know if I didn't like to come, I wouldn't come? Huh? Well, I've been in situations I didn't like to go and I went. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and the sleight of men, and cunningness and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, holding the faith in a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul says that you'll not be tossed to and fro about with every wind of doctrine. You know, unfortunately, you know, I've been in some situations that if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't be there. But see, I was ignorant. And because I was ignorant and hadn't studied my Bible, then I went to those places, was part of those things, and took part in it, and I was deceived. And if I know you all been in the same situation. You've been in churches that you ought not be in. You've been doing things that you ought not be doing. And you thought you were doing it because the Lord wanted you to do it. Have you ever went on visitation? I used to go on visitation every Thursday. And nothing wrong with going on visitation every Thursday. In fact, that's a good thing. If you can get people to talk to you, well, that's good. But the whole problem is, if you go on visitation and you go for the wrong reason, well, what have you benefited anybody? But, you know, we do stuff like that. Do you put the money in the can over there because you want to? Or do you put the money in the can over there because you think it's proper? Or because you think that God told you to do that? See, that's the question. That's the thing you're going to get judged on one day. Why in the world did you do this to start with? See, that's the reason. That's what you're going to give an account for one day. You're going to give an account for some of that stuff that we've done, we shouldn't have done, and we took part in because we were deceived. And we've done a lot of things in our life that we shouldn't have done. And we're going to give an account for it. Simple as that. In Revelation 1, verse 14, John sees the glorified Lord. And he describes him. And he says that his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Here John describes the glorified Lord. What does he say about it? And when John sees him, he falls over as of dead, like he was dead, scared him to death. Now, what does it say about his eyes? It says they were like fire. And when he looks at you at that judgment seat, I think that's all that's going to be required. He's going to look inside you and all the stuff that you've done since you've been saved is going to be made manifest to who? To him. And he's going to look at you and he's going to be able to tell what all you've done. And I believe it's through what he did, what he does with those eyes when he looks at you. He can read you like a book. In fact, I've got a book right here that reads you, me and you and everybody else. It reads them. If you want to know how good you are, well, you read that book and you find out that you might be like it. It reads you like a book. And when he looks at you there at the judgment seat of Christ with those eyes as far, ain't going to be no problem in manifesting everything that you did while you was on the earth. Okay, I finally found this here, Hebrews chapter 4. I want to look at that. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Now look what this says here. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto His eyes, unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Do you see what that says? Hey, when we stand before Him and He looks at us with those eyes afar, we're going to be naked before Him. We're going to stand naked before Him. And everything, what does that say there? It says there's no creature that is not manifest in His sight. You see what that says? We're going to be manifest in His sight. He's going to be able to look at us, and everything that we've done is going to be before Him. And He's going to be able to tell what we've done, whether it be good or bad. And it's going to be tried by fire. And we're going to receive a reward, or we're not going to receive nothing. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, everything that you've done can be burned up. If you've done it for the wrong reason, if you didn't do it at all. But it says, yet so is by far. We'll still be there. We're going to be saved, yet so is by far. And everything is made manifest in His sight. He can see that. He can see everything you've ever done. And it's going to be made manifest right there before Him. And that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what's going to happen there. And if you have everything burned up, you're going to suffer loss. But you're still going to be there. You might be the least one there as far as position goes. But you're still going to be there. Still going to be there. That don't give you no excuse for not doing anything at all for the Lord, does it? It doesn't do that. Well, number one thing, He tells you to study, right? Do you study? Well, if you don't, well, then you're not going to get no reward because you don't know nothing. Do you reconcile a lost and dying world to Christ? Well, if you don't, why would you get a reward for not doing that? Do you represent your heavenly home here upon the earth? Well, if you don't, why in the world would you get a reward? I don't know. Look what the Apostle Paul tells us. He writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say what the Apostle Paul said about what he did? Boy, when you read what the Apostle Paul did and compare it to what we did or what we do, then we're pretty pitiful. You know, he was beaten 5 times, 39 stripes for preaching the gospel. He was shipwrecked. He was led over a wall in a basket so he could escape. He was put in prison. He did all. He was willing to do all that. And sometimes just the least little thing will just throw us completely out of kilter. I just don't feel good today. I'm just going to stay home. I don't want to go up there and associate with them people. I'm just going to keep my money. They don't need it. Well, they're wasting it anyhow. Just think about all the excuses. They had this song Denny Hall used to sing. The name of it was Excuses. Wow, they didn't even shake my hand. I ain't gonna go back there. See, we've got all kinds of excuses. Look what Paul says that he did. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do you see that? What does that say? Paul said that he's going to get a crown of righteousness. How's he going to obtain that crown of righteousness? How's he going to do that? Well, you know, when I read that thing, it says, and not me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? Would there anything that you'd have to do to go home to do? Would there be anything that you had to do to go home and do? Or would you be willing to go ahead and say, Lord, come on. Said He loved His appearing. Would you be ashamed to stand before Him? Says that you're going to get a crown of righteousness if you love His appearing. You're going to get that corruptible, incorruptible crown if you run the race. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Look what he says here. And Paul tells you something that you do know. And he tells you here that, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about the body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. See, you go right back to this thing and remember what we read over there, be found naked. Here you've got a house that's eternal in the heavens, and what? You got this house eternal in the heavens, and you're going to be clothed upon it one day. But how are you going to be identified? There's only one verse in the Bible that I know of. Let me read that to you. And I realize that we've been taught all our life that when we die, we're going to go home to be with Mama. You hear that? Well, there's only one verse that I can find in the Bible that tells us that what we're going to do when we get to heaven, or what, or who we're going to know and what we're going to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So Paul says that you're going to be known as you're known. Well, how in the world are you going to be known? The only way you're ever going to be known is by what that house looks like. Is it going to have anything on it? Is it going to have gold and silver? Is it going to have a crown? Are you going to have a crown? What are you going to look like? Can people identify you and say, there he is? Look there at him. He run a race. See, there's the Apostle Paul. He run the race. He kept the faith. He did all that. And he said, henceforth they laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but also to them that love his appearing. So, one day, we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to look at us, and he's going to reveal everything that we've ever done.